It'll take weeks of hard work to reach the bottom again. Even longer before we can start carving blocks for the outer wall. Months lost.
Any survivors?
Silas's hand clenched his cane hard. Crossing his arms, Sheffield shook his head.
None.
How lucky for the overseers. They would have begged for death before I was through with them.
Any orders, sir?
Yes, of course. Halt the construction of the wall. Assign every worker to the dish. What's done, we'll effect a clear zone around the complex. That will afford us the security we need to finish the wall at our leisure.
A clear zone?
Leaning heavily on his cane, Silas grunted.
We'll burn the whole Tennessee Valley to ash around our base for 100 miles. Nobody would dare to cross that.
The Orbiter could do such a thing? Amazing. It truly was more powerful than pre-dark nukes. The Sec Chief tried to hide his excitement.
How soon?
Noon tomorrow. No, the day after. Tomorrow I reduce Front Royal to a lava pool.
Silas then frowned.
What are the chances that Ryan had something to do with this?
None at all. Any strangers found in the valley have been shot on sight. Our sentries report in regularly, and every passable road is heavily mined.
That's not exactly correct, sir.
A corporal hesitantly walked forward from the crowd of sec men. Turning slowly, Silas leveled a hostile gaze at the youngster.
Explain that statement.
The sec man saluted.
Sir, the sentry on the west road is late reporting in, sir. We sent off his relief this morning, but no word on either of them yet.
Silas glanced about nervously, feeling very vulnerable standing in the open.
The west? I should have known the coward would try and sneak up on me from behind. Send out an LAV and a squad of men immediately.
That is unwise, sir. We only have 3 armored wags remaining. We lost one during the cave-in. It must have been parked near the edge and fell into the quarry.
Irrelevant! I want armor on the west road within the hour.
Licking his dry lips, Silas hunched his shoulders as if braced for the killing impact of a bullet. His face felt hot, and the center of his forehead ached with a stabbing pain, as if he had been already shot. A great weariness filled the man, and in horror he felt himself starting to slip into the dream state that heralded his recurring nightmare. Only this time it was happening while he was wide awake. Through sheer force of will, he banished the delirium, but a cold certainty now gripped his heart, and Silas knew that his days of sanity were almost over. Soon, madness would rule his mind, and the scientist would no longer be able to tell reality from delusion. He would probably never even know when Tanner, or the Major, took his life. Breathing hard, Silas looked into the deep quarry, knowing that a single step more would end his problems forever. Just then, a stone broke away from the ragged edge of the ground and fell into the quarry, clattering and clacking as it bounced from boulder to boulder, finally disappearing into the shadowy dust clouds far below. A few seconds later, there was a splash as it reached the runoff pool. Shuddering at the noise, Silas stepped away from the yawning stone pit. No, not yet. His death at this time would only damn North America to endless barbarism. Democracy had failed, the anarchy of choice and the chaos of freedom combining to create Skydark, and nearly ending the human race. Only the iron rule of science could save humankind from extinction. The great project had to be completed first, no matter what the personal cost. Then, and only then, could he allow himself to finally die and escape the growing horrors of his own damaged mind.
Come along, Major. We're returning to the complex. That one-eyed bastard could be watching us right now through a sniper scope.
Impossible. The nearest trees for cover are 200 yards away. The bushes on the hillside are even farther. He couldn't hit the ground at that range. Not with a Winchester lever action or a Kalashnikov. You told me yourself that was why you chose those specific long blasters. Both are useless as sniper rifles.
Sweat was beginning to trickle down Silas's face.
And what if Ryan is here with his Steyr? That is designed for extreme distance shots under tricky conditions. Perhaps I should stay inside the bunker until this matter is resolved.
A wise move. Or tell me the entrance code to the redoubts. just in case of an emergency.
Pausing near the doors of the LAV, Silas Jamivu stared at the big sect chief. Proud and strong, he was the perfect human specimen, a more than worthy successor to the dying scientist.
Maybe you're right.
Silas slowly started to reach into his coat. Then he stopped and stepped inside the APC, taking a wall seat.
Not here. I will tell you in the lab. We must not be overheard.
Of course. As you say, sir.
Sheffield betrayed no emotion, while not taking his eyes off the tiny sliver of the rainbow disc, just barely visible, tucked inside the breast pocket of Silas's white lab coat. Ryan slowed the Hummer as another wag appeared around a gentle curve in the road ahead of them. It was a pre-dark truck in amazingly good condition, the tires sporting plenty of tread, the headlights intact, and not a speck of rust on the red-painted chassis. He could see two men in the front cab, and more in the rear. All of them seemed to have blasters. Ryan adjusted the Sig Sauer at his hip.
Stay loose. Don't shoot unless they do first. Not everybody on this road is going to be a blue shirt.
Maybe.
JB pulled the Uzi onto his lap, snicking off the safety. Moving the Hummer to the far side of the road, Ryan carefully watched the oncoming truck. The driver wasn't wearing a blue shirt. They could just be some folks leaving the area. Or Sekmen in disguise. The one-eyed man debated chilling the strangers purely as a precaution, and decided against it. Maintaining its speed, the truck swung away from the Hummer, 20 feet of open space separating the vehicles. As the machines got closer, Ryan nodded and casually saluted at the other driver, and the gesture was returned.
Big man. Looks a bit like Ryan.
Christy had her revolver in her hand, but tucked out of sight.
Everybody has scars.
Almost alongside each other, the truck began to slow, and the driver pointed at the Hummer. The bald man in the passenger seat rolled down his window and stared at the companions, first in puzzlement, then displaying pointed teeth as his mouth opened in shock.
Nuking hell, it is them! Chill them all!
Instantly, the pre-dark wag veered across the road, its engine revving with power.
They're going for a ram.
Ryan hit the gas and sharply twisted the steering wheel. The M60 started chattering, and the Sekmen and the other wag fired back with an assortment of hand blasters. The windshield on the truck exploded into pieces, while rounds ricocheted off the sides of the Hummer. Firing one-handed, JB hosed the truck, but it was already too late. The hood blew off the wag, steam erupted from the punctured radiator, and the truck slammed into the rear fender of the Hummer in a crash of glass and screech of metal. Jack went flying from his position behind the M60, and the Hummer spun about from the collision, brakes squealing. Shaking and bouncing, the damaged truck rattled to a halt. The front bumper crumpled tight onto the right tire, slicing the rubber into shreds. On the berm, Jack rose and started limping after the Hummer, firing his .357 steadily at the stalled truck. The driver was fighting to start the engine again, but only getting whirring noises. However, the Sekmen in the rear opened fire on the pale teenager with their blasters. Trapped on flat ground, with absolutely no cover, Jack flinched as a hot round scored past his cheek, singeing his skin.
Cover him!
Ryan slammed on the gas and raced forward. The companions opened fire with every weapon they had as the war wag streaked across the road to pass straight by Jack and slam into the truck. The impact knocked the Sekmen off their feet, the armored Hummer almost flipping over the large truck. Jumping from the military transport, Doc and Christy grabbed Jack by the arms and hauled the teenager off the road. Once he was in the Hummer, Ryan backed away from the truck and spun in the dirt, guiding the wag down the road at top speed.
Those were cannies!
Dean snapped off more shots at the broken wag. The men were stumbling around the vehicle in a daze, firing their weapons blindly. JB slapped a fresh clip into the Uzi and worked the bolt.
Silas hiring cannies as blues?
More likely, they stole the truck.
Doc continued blowing flame and thunder at the men with his Lamar. A canny with a bandaged foot recoiled from the subsonic arrival of the .44 caliber miniball, his left arm gone from the elbow down.
And I sincerely hope they ate the previous owners.
Vicious old coot, aren't you?
Just practical, madam. A dead Silas can do us no more harm.
As the truck dwindled in the distance, the Hummer rolled around the curve in the dirt road, and Ryan immediately slowed. Directly ahead of them, A flat wooden bridge stretched across a gently flowing river. Ryan ground to a halt.
Fire blast! How many rivers do they have here? There isn't time to defuse another bastard landmine!
Munitions bag in hand, JB hopped from the Hummer and started off.